From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks. Today, a look at how a recent freeze on federal child care assistance dollars could affect local South Dakota providers. The short answer, officials aren't expecting much of an impact. And less than a week out from the South Dakota legislative session, we'll check in on Governor Larry Roden's priorities. It's Thursday, January 8th. Here are today's stories. The Trump administration recently halted federal child care assistance until states provide further verification on their programs. The freeze came in response to fraud allegations in Minnesota. After some uncertainty, the South Dakota Department of Social Services does not expect local providers to feel an impact. SDPB's Jackie Hendry reports.
The Federal Child Care Assistance Program subsidizes costs for low-income families who meet certain requirements. The Trump administration initially announced a nationwide freeze last week, leading to some local concern. In an emailed statement to SDPB on Wednesday, Department of Social Services Secretary Matt Althoff confirmed DSS will be required to provide verification when submitting Child Care Assistance Program drawdowns. He says this is similar to a process followed in early 2025, during which South Dakota was found compliant. Althoff says, given our recent experiences, DSS expects no impact will be felt by providers. According to a 2025 report from South Dakota Kids Count, more than 3,000 South Dakota children participated in the program in fiscal year 2024. That's just 5% of children ages birth to 12 who qualify. Kayla Klein is the policy specialist for the South Dakota Association for the Education of Young Children. She says participation rates are low, in part, because few child care providers are eligible to receive the funds in the first place.
You do have to be regulated through the Department of Social Services in South Dakota in order to receive child care assistance subsidies. And there are a large majority of individuals who are not regulated in South Dakota. Our most recent estimates show that about 60% of the market is unregulated.
Klein says eligible providers may refuse clients with child care assistance because the subsidy doesn't cover real costs of care. Despite the low participation, Klein says a funding freeze would have a drastic impact on local child care providers. On Tuesday, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services froze access to federal child care assistance funds for five Democrat-controlled states, citing serious concerns of fraud. I'm SDPB's Jackie Hendry in Sioux Falls.
As legislative session nears, Governor Larry Roden is making a case for his priorities. He laid out his legislative game plan after a public event. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
After speaking to the State Land Surveyors Convention in Deadwood, Roden says it's time to buckle down and get to work on upcoming policy.
The number one priority is getting a balanced budget passed. The legislature presented our budget a few weeks ago in the budget address. Property tax relief has been another issue that's been high on everybody's radar. A number of different bills that are introduced. We've introduced a bill to create an option for individual counties to opt into a proposal for a property tax relief.
State law mandates that the government balance the budget every year. However, some proposals turned heads during Roden's first budget address. Despite this, the governor says he's sticking to his guns.
I feel pretty positive. I think the majority of the legislators understand the situation we're in and the tough farm economy as the reason that revenues are down.
Some lawmakers and lobbyists have balked at the increases in deposits to the state rainy day fund while also holding salaries for the big three, teachers, healthcare workers, and state employees, flat. Ultimately, the governor's budget is a suggestion and lawmakers have final say on its contents. Considering South Dakota's Republican supermajority, much of what gets accomplished over the next 10 weeks will come down to discussions within the closed Republican caucus. With faction politics very real in the state, Roden acknowledges the diversity of opinion as a challenge.
You're dealing with 105 legislators that represent 105 different ideas on what they want to see move forward. So that's a big part of the legislative process. We do a lot of things right in South Dakota in our state government. So we have a good process, but it's pretty arduous to bring 105 people together and come up with one agenda.
Legislative session begins next Tuesday. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Deadwood.
A 500-megawatt data center in Sioux Falls has a path forward following city council approval to rezone the land. It's now designated for light industrial use. Despite approval, public opposition was evident during the multiple hours of public testimony. This week's Sioux Falls City Council meeting lasted 6 hours. It was driven by discussion over the Gemini Data Center proposed on a 160-acre parcel of land between Sioux Falls and Brandon. City Council approved annexation of the land in October. At the meeting, many city residents voiced concerns during public testimony, concerns over energy.
This one facility is projected to more than double our entire city's energy consumption.
Concerns over water.
Water is even a bigger issue and something that we all need to live. The Environmental and Energy Studies Institution states that a medium-sized data center uses around 110 million gallons of water daily to cool their computers.
Concerns over electronic waste.
I've never seen it addressed as what happens to all that. Some of it can have lead and mercury in it, and I don't know how they're going to reprocess that. How are they going to recycle it? What happens? Does it go in the environment? Is it going to be dumped in a landfill?
And more. While the vote at stake was to rezone the agriculture land, many said it was hand in hand with building a data center. Many said that propels the damages AI is causing to the environment and job market. Councillor Kurt Sales says he shares concerns, but that's not what he's tasked to do.
I'm old enough to have read the book by George Orwell, 1984, before 1984, and Big Brother scares me too. AI scares me too. Huge. I'm not willing to give up my cell phone. And I noticed a lot of people that said AI was bad read their speech on their cell phone. It's here to stay. There's nothing we can do. But that's not the subject tonight. The subject tonight is the zoning.
Councillors stress their support on the zoning, while hinting at potential changes to the preliminary subdivision plan to address constituent concerns. The vote passed unanimously 7-0. Following the vote, expletives and other criticisms were voiced at the City Council, causing a 5-minute recess. Governor Larry Rodin has signed a disaster declaration seeking FEMA assistance for damages caused by a powerful winter windstorm. The storm began December 17th and caused widespread damage in the Black Hills area. To qualify for FEMA assistance, a disaster must cause at least $1.7 million in damage to public property. Rodin says the latest estimates have exceeded that threshold. A recount upholds the original vote, keeping the Oldham-Ramona-Rutland School District intact, but questions about the district's future remain. Last month, a vote to dissolve the district came up short by only a few votes. This week, a recount showed 362 votes for dissolution, 367 against, a difference of 5 votes. That's according to district officials. However, the vote still faces a legal challenge. A group of landowners filed a complaint arguing 5 provisional ballots should not have been counted. The district has 3 weeks to respond to the complaint. After more than 20 years, the South Dakota Supreme Court courtroom in the state capitol is back open for public viewing. The courtroom was closed to public tours since 2001 due to elevated security measures following the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Judicial system officials say they're reopening the courtroom as part of an effort to build public trust through transparency and community engagement. The Supreme Court courtroom is on the second floor of the Capitol building. Officials say it's one of the few original Supreme Court courtrooms in the U.S. that is still used for court proceedings. A new report suggests we could see lower gas prices this year. The consumer analysis company GasBuddy just released its annual fuel price outlook. It projects the national average will drop down 13 cents to $2.97 per gallon. If that holds true, it would mark 4 straight years of declining fuel prices. It would also be the first time the average was below $3 since the COVID-19 pandemic. Analysts say the downward trend is due to many factors, including new refining capacity coming online. South Dakota's current average sits around $2.49 per gallon. On this week's Your Morning in Play, reflections on what sports can mean to a community after the recent Midwest Miracles Basketball Classic.
And welcome to another Your Morning in Play here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason and Dara. Jandy, we've seen the holiday season now come and go, and one of the things that really makes the holiday season great when it comes to high school basketball in South Dakota is there's all of these different classics that take place. One of them that was in its second year of being a classic was the Midwest Miracles Classic down at Viberg-Hurley. And this one is a little bit more of a special meaning than some of the other classics in the state because this one was created by a young man named Kobe Sherman. Kobe started the basically started the Midwest Miracles Foundation, which was to raise money for pediatric cancer families because Kobe himself was dealing with a cancer diagnosis. He tragically passed away in November of this past year, but the classic lives on, and what a cool thing for that community to keep it going in his honor.
And so they had it, yeah, over the break and actually after the new year at the Corn Palace over a couple of days. And what a response. They were able to raise over $5,000 to go toward pediatric cancer. And, you know, people are great. You know, when you give them an opportunity to be great, people can be great. And the cool thing about this was, you know, one of the headline games in here was Vibert Curley, his team, and going against Wall, a really good Class B matchup. And the guys on the team basically said, you know, we've just felt like we were playing together and we were playing for Kobe, and things went really well for that team. They played out of their minds and got a win over a really good Wall team. So, you know, on the court is one thing, but the spirit of the event really trumped everything.
Yeah, and, you know, just to kind of piggyback off of that, I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in a lot of the conversations that revolve around basketball where we get so caught up on, you know, the players and who's doing really well and what teams are surprising us, what teams are maybe a little underwhelming, who's going to win the state championship. But it's the people that make up all of these communities that these teams are in, the people that make up the teams, the players that make up the rosters. It's the people that truly make it great. And the story about Kobe Sherman is a prime example of that.
Exactly. And Brody and Grady Sherman, his brothers, were able to hand out the player of the game to Brady Schrodermeyer, who won it for Vibert Curley. So the family has really gotten on board to make this a reality. You know, even though Kobe's not here in presence, you know, obviously he was felt throughout this entire event.
Yeah, he, very impressive kid. We actually did a feature on Kobe Sherman a year ago as part of our Tales from the Hardwood show. You can check that out on our SDPB YouTube page. Just type in Midwest Miracles Classic, and you can actually hear from Kobe Sherman and hear him speak about it. And I think that's what makes it so much more powerful.
It does. And when I said there was over $5,000, there was $5,000 given to four different recipients. I mean, that's how big this thing was. And you're right, to hear Kobe talk about it in the video that SDPB produced, it really does ring home. Like, this is a huge success.
There are more important things than sports, but sports is what kind of binds it all together and kind of makes the train stay on the tracks. And that's what I think
that's
truly
why we
makes.
Love high school sports,
it's,
isn't it?
It's why we love it.
I mean, it's more than sports. We love sports for sure. But these stories, yeah, this is the backdrop that really makes it stand out as something we love to do.
All right. Well, he's Jason Andera. I'm Nate Weck, and this has been another Your Morning in Play.
And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.